Welcome to Super Talk, the podcast that scratches your superhero itch. Just two suburban dads nerding out over superhero stuff on the small screen and the big. Buckle up, people. Enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Super Talk, the weekly podcast dedicated to news and reviews of comic book media on the big and small screen. This is episode number 39. I'm your host, Brian Professor Pettis, and with me, as always, is my illustrious co-host, Titanium Tony Estrella. Titanium!
Professor! Take us to school. We're back, baby. Episode 39. Thanks for everybody that watched our little first impressions of Venom, Let There Be Carnage. Man, what a spectacular theater, huh?
I'm so happy we're back in the theaters watching movies and, you know, getting to see these big movies in IMAX in a really just well-lit, you know, great screen, good sound quality theater is just so much fun.
Yeah, it really is. And even the trailer, the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer, it's funny how, you know, all the speculation was when he's in the interrogation room in the police station, how the one...
Speculation by whom?
Speculation by social media, me, all kinds of people that when the
reaching for Easter
eggs. Well, a lot of it was social media, and a lot of people that do what we do kind of speculate and kind of the rumor mill and everything about the guy that laid the papers on the table. You know, everybody was like, oh, that could be Matt Murdock. That's him, the small tie, whatever. And then it came out that it was just the police officer. But in IMAX, you could see... you could see his face. So none of that would have happened if...
Weren't for IMAX.
If it weren't for IMAX. So that was cool.
It's great. Well, let's get going this week. And first, we want to start the show like we do every week by thanking the listeners that bring the show to you. And those are our patrons. Patreon.com, patreon.com/supertalk. That's how you become a patron of the show. Look, it's $1 an episode. Become a patron. We'll send you a nice little thank you card. You guys donate $1 every time we release an episode, and you help support the show. And we really appreciate those out there that have chosen to do that for us.
Yeah, thank you, boys and girls. Appreciate the support.
Well, let's jump into the review section. This is brought to you by our friends over at Gooder Sunglasses, GOODR.com/supertalk. No, there's no slash on that one. But Gooder.com, go get some sunglasses there. And as a matter of fact, my wife and I were... we're walking the dogs this weekend. She's like, and she has a pair of these. She's, I want another pair of these. They are so good, and they really don't slide down your face.
They're great. They're great glasses.
I said, well, go to the website. Affordable. We're going to order some. Yeah. $25. How many do you want?
They got some cool Halloween designs out that glow in the dark and shit. Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Oh, man. I got to go there right now. Here, take over. No. All right. Well, first review this week, we had our episode of What If last week that came out, and that was What If Ultron won. And wow, what an episode. Probably my favorite.
My favorite, too. Yeah, that's funny. We haven't even talked about this. Yeah. My favorite episode blew the Sorcerer Supreme one away, and that was great. That was a great episode, and that was my previously. But this was really good. I mean, really cool, not lazy writing, really in depth. I mean, it was just really neat to see that kind of aspect of, you know, him winning and then him becoming bigger and obtaining the Infinity Stones. I would have liked to have seen a little bit better battle when Thanos came through the portal and he just sliced him in two and that was it. And he's like, oh, that's interesting.
That was the best.
That was like, what? I wanted to see a little bit more conflict, like Thanos having a little bit more, but he just sliced him right in two. It was like, oh, these are interesting.
Fascinating.
Fascinating, yeah.
The biggest disappointment about the episode in your mind, and I think it's a quite obvious one, but what do you think the biggest disappointment was? It's not James Spader. Had it been James Spader voicing Ultron, this would have been like a home run, but it wasn't him.
It's funny. I watched the end credits, and there weren't a lot of original voices in this one, maybe a handful. But you're right. Had it been James Spader,
home run.
It, not only a home run, I would have watched it four or five times.
Yeah.
The guy who did the voice for Ultron was fine.
He's, as a matter of fact, is the same person who did the voice of the Red Skull in Infinity War and Endgame, because Hugo Weaving did not come back to do the Red Skull voice in those two movies. So they brought another guy who happens to be a guy who was on The Walking Dead, does a lot of new actor.
He lost character his voices. Hand in The Walking Dead or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, does a lot of character voices. But he came back and voiced Ultron for this this cartoon series. And you know, he's fine. But, I mean, I was like, when the episode first started, I was like, man, if this is James Spader, I'm going to literally, like, lose it. It would have been so good. Because James Spader was such a good Ultron in the
best. And his voice is so distinct.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, he's great in Blacklist.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a great actor. He's great on The Office.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. He's just a great actor. But his voice is very distinct. It would have made, you're right, it would have absolutely raised that to a level beyond belief.
But, I mean, the whole concept was, and again, the big what if at the beginning of the episode, and we got a little bit of teaser for this at the end of the prior episode with the Party Thor episode. We saw this version of Ultron kind of come to that universe. But we found out why and how. It basically came down to the Avengers weren't able to kidnap or steal Vision's body from Ultron, and he was able to complete the upload of his mind into the android body that he created. What became our Vision ended up becoming the Ultron, and so he got his new synthesoid body and
triggered a nuclear war.
Right, basically destroyed you know all life on Earth, and then went about, and then Thanos shows up one day and. This is what you were alluding to. After he had conquered the world, basically, Thanos comes through some portal with the Infinity Gauntlet, and five of the six Infinity Gems, the other one that he doesn't have is the one that's in Vision's head, and Vision looks at him and says, "Fascinating," and then just zink, slices him in half and takes the other Infinity Gems and becomes Ultron, basically.
Natasha and Barton are in Moscow, and they're looking for... And Natasha's convinced that the answer to defeating Ultron is there in Moscow and their secret files. And
they survived because they were in the Quinjet in the air when the nuclear bombs hit the globe. So they were able to survive. And there, as far as we know, not many other survivors left on Earth. It's all run by Ultron's minions, basically.
And Clint has a mechanical arm, which I thought was a nice little touch. Yeah. And nice nod to the Winter Soldier. So I thought that was cool. Yeah, great episode. I mean,
but what ends up being the help that they go find is the remnants of...
The power broker?
we thought was the power broker.
No. I'm holding on to this one. You have no idea my resilience on this. Zola is the power broker.
Zola ends up the Professor Zola ends up you know the computer edition of him that was in Captain America and the Winter Soldier. There was another version of him that was in the same Russian, I guess it was a missile silo that we saw in the end of Civil War, where Captain America
that's where the other soldiers were held. The other super soldiers were held.
So they went there and found the remnants of his digital entity and said, you can implant yourself into Vision and take and save the universe or whatever, right? And they find out that he does get his mind into one of the Vision robots, but he can't penetrate the hive mind because Vision's off world. And they're like, what do you mean he's off?
Ultron,
not Vision. Ultron's off world. We're like, what do you mean off world? Well, he's not in this universe.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, we found out why.
Oh, he's found out the Watcher. He's pretty much conquered all the other worlds, pretty much set everything.
When he got the Infinity Gems, he went out and basically conquered the entire universe.
Yeah.
And was done. And nothing else to do.
Then he at that we saw level.
Him, we saw him Xandar, Ego the Living Planet.
Yeah.
We basically destroyed every planet we'd ever the Sovereign destroyed every planet that we'd ever seen in the MCU. We saw him do it. And then you know, the Ultron, the Watcher is narrating him, and then he sits back and wonders
who's talking.
Yeah, and then he goes, "Who's that speaking?" And he becomes aware of the Watcher,
right, a higher level entity, and he realizes that the Watcher has access to many universes and many, and the multiverse itself, right?
Right.
So he goes after the Watcher. That was kind of cool.
I like the way that they portrayed the Watcher. He's in this
almost like a mirror dimension.
Like a hallway.
Yeah, like a mirror dimension.
It's a hallway, and on both sides of the hallway are these kind of crystal glass kind of panes that he can see through. And those are the vision that how he watches into each one of those worlds or those universes. And he's in there, and he kind of just has dominion over this. And Ultron ultimately is like, oh, let me see if I can find this guy. And he figures it out and breaks into this thing. The guy, and you know, the Watcher's like, what the heck are you doing here?
Right.
And they end up having a pretty knockdown, drag out battle. And we see that the Watcher's not just some lackey, right? He's got some power.
No, he creates a cool suit of armor and fires back, and they have a pretty good battle. I thought that was really cool. It was one of my favorite scenes.
But ultimately,
he's got the five Infinity Stones.
Yeah, he's got the and here's one thing I wanted to touch with you, discuss with you. When we got into the Loki series, if you remember in Loki goes to the TVA, and at the TVA, they have this drawer full of like Infinity Stones, and because they didn't work outside of, that's what he was told.
They only worked
inside of your own timeline.
Inside of those realities. They did not work in that. It was because that was, time wasn't functioning there. Like magic didn't work there. So you're thinking, why
did the Infinity Gems work when Ultron was able, when left his own reality and moved outside of reality, just like the TVA was? My point is, they made a big point about that those powers and those Infinity Gems don't work other than in the reality, the timeline, the main timeline. So if he moves outside of that, how come his Infinity Gems still work?
But each of those stones that were in that drawer worked in their separate realities.
Right, but the ones he had on him continued to work no matter where he went.
Just like those stones would work in any real reality, just not in the TVA, because time did not function there.
Huh, I don't know. It's curious. I just thought it was one of the things that, for some reason, it seemed like they didn't work unless they were in their own reality. So, I don't know.
No, I like where your head's at. I just didn't overthink that. But you're right. Because where is the Watcher? I mean, is he watching it from a void of reality in some weird mirror dimension? You know?
Who knows? But
obviously, it worked for me because it was awesome.
Ultimately, at the end of the show, you know, Ultron is... pretty easy. He's able to defeat the Watcher. The Watcher has to run away. And where does he run? Which is very interesting. He runs into the
Sorcerer Supreme.
Well, the little pocket dimension that Strange Supreme had created for himself to survive. When his reality collapsed, he created that crystal ball that he could hide out in so he wouldn't be, you know. And he's been sitting there the whole time, and the Watcher shows up there. And we see Doctor Strange at the end of the episode says, interesting twist of fates here now, isn't it? Right? Uh-huh. So, it looks like the two of them will be working together to
I'm excited help for overcome. This next episode.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for it.
This was great, and I think the finale is going to be great. It seems like what we've seen in the trailers thus far, a lot of the characters we've seen throughout the season are coming back for this episode.
We're going to get Gamora.
Well, that's the one we haven't seen this season. And
we're getting her this one.
Theoretically, you don't know where. I think that was one of the ones they hit the cutting room floor or something. But we're going to see Black, you know, T'Challa. We're going to see Killmonger. We're going to see Party Thor. We're going to see
all of them.
Captain Britain or Captain Carter. We're going to see the Black Widow. I think it's going to be really cool. We'll see how this thing, and the good guys win at the end, I'm sure. I mean, why would they have a season? They've already announced season 2 is coming. There was an episode, there was supposed to be like this hidden 10th episode that we didn't get this year. That's been pushed to season 2, but we already know season 2 is coming. And from what we also understand, there's going to be more of Marvel Phase 4 in Season 2 of What If, so we get to look forward to some of the newer movies being part of What If as well.
Yeah, great show. I'm looking forward to Season 2. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night's show, though. That's going to be awesome.
Tomorrow morning? What do you mean tomorrow night?
Tomorrow, I don't watch it till the nighttime. I can't get up and watch that show. Somebody's got to work out. Look, this body doesn't create itself.
No. All right. You want to speak real quickly about the New Titans episode, episode 9 that came out last week. Hey, good news. Diana Troi back in Gotham. She made it in. She had a little bit of a challenge by her Hysteria? People from Hysteria?
Yeah, like the main lady from Mysteria. Yeah, that tickles you, doesn't it? The main lady from
Themyscira,
the mascara,
tested her,
kind of tested her to see if she was fully back, full strength, and she proved herself. So,
but she more than tested her. She also challenged her. She's like, look, you're great because you're part of both worlds. You're half human, you're half Amazon, and you need to prove that to everybody. You're a leader. Challenge her a little bit.
Yeah, kind of set her up what she's going to be facing. We also saw Raven come back and meet Beast Boy, which was great. Is it just me or did she look more mature and kind of like a smoke show?
She's all grown up.
She's still a young actress. But please, Blackfire, be good. I just want her on the show more.
Well, that was one of the big twists of the show.
It sure was.
So two big plot points. The Titans decide to turn themselves into the cops.
It goes wrong.
It goes very wrong. We find out that Scarecrow and Red Hood had corrupted some of the cops and were paying them off. And ultimately, the cops were going to violently, apprehend the Titans, even though they were peacefully turning themselves in. And that turned into a big fight. And Barbara Gordon was forced to shoot one of her policemen who was going to shoot Dick Grayson. I mean, the policeman was going to shoot somebody, and Barbara Gordon had to end up shooting him, and then she gets arrested at the end of the show.
I understand that. She's the commissioner, and she gives a direct order, and they're disobeying that order. She takes action, and she gets arrested? That seems like lazy writing.
Television.
I get it.
And then the other big thing is that, when all the Titans escape from that mishap with the police... we've got Starfire and Blackfire in a church, and they're kind of... Blackfire gets shot.
Blackfire gets shot, yes.
So Connor was able to block a couple of bullets, but one of them hits Blackfire. They escape. Blackfire is bleeding.
Did you notice when that happened, Connor's eyes turned red, and he kind of lost it a little bit?
Oh, he was a little pissed off.
But
they escape. She's bleeding, and Starfire goes to heal her and use her powers to heal her because she's bleeding to death. And Titanium called this one. Blackfire uses that as an opportunity to steal Starfire's power, and Starfire's power is sucked into Blackfire, and she has everything that she wants, right?
Now,
did you know that was going to happen?
Her first reaction was, I didn't plan this. This isn't what I wanted. This just happened. I didn't plan this, and you have to trust me. Why don't you still not trust me? If that was the case, why didn't she say, well, we got some time here. Let's try to figure this out. Let me try to give you back your powers. But that's not what happened. So I want her to be good. If she's an anti-hero, I'll go with that as well. But if she becomes the bad guy again and they end up defeating her and get rid of her, I'm going to be upset.
Yeah, everything's indicating that that's where they're going with it. It's simply
show.
Because
this is a good episode, by the way.
Simply because she is a villain in the comic books, so yeah. Why would they paint her into a hero
come
role?
Come on, I don't know. She's just fun to look at. Damn it.
Well, that means if she's the villain, they'll keep her around for a while.
I hope so.
Yeah. Anyway.
Good episode.
Yeah, really good episode. That was.
I like where the story's going, and I can't wait for the next one. That kind of got me reinvigorated in the show.
Hey, Donna's back, so that's what's important.
Amen.
All right, well, let's jump into the news this week. A little light week on the news front, but we've got a few things. Today, as a matter of fact, we got a new official teaser trailer for the Peacemaker series on HBO Max.
Funny as shit. That show's going to be great. It's going to be great. You notice how James Gunn gave his girlfriend some really good lines. Like, she's like
the two of them are now. And wasn't that guy the one that we were supposed to try to get on the show at some point in time?
The guy,
The guy sitting at the diner table. Yeah.
Is he King Shark?
Yes.
He is?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's him.
I didn't know. Are you sure?
Yes.
He was also a Ravager.
Yes.
In Guardian of the Galaxy. Yes. That's the same guy?
Yes.
I love how James Gunn has this group.
The guy sitting at the diner table with her saying, oh, my God, I can't believe he's walking in full costume.
Yeah.
Full, what do they call it?
They screwed us. They give this guy, full, what was it, cosplay.
Cosplay. Costume. He's in full cosplay mode.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. But yes, he walks in and, you know, we get the full scene of, you know, what are you wearing? Why are you in costume? He said, it's a uniform.
Yeah.
And it's new, so I got to stretch it out a little bit.
For missions.
Yeah. And is that an eagle you have in the back of your car? What do you call it? Eagly?
Eagly.
My pet, Eagly.
Eagly.
Do you have a dog named Doggy? Do you have a daughter named Daughtery?
Yeah.
Do you have a son named son? And they're like, stop.
Jealous of eagle pets much? That's what he says. That's hilarious. He's great. John Cena is a home run.
Killing it.
I don't care what you say. A home run. The way he delivers his lines with that dead ass, just seriousness, he's great. That's going to be a good show. I'm excited for that now. That little teaser got me excited for that.
Yeah, he's killing it. And that'll be a really good show. And again, it's James Gunn. And I think John Cena was one of the bright spots of the new Suicide Squad movie.
Absolutely.
So we're getting him in the full season.
That Polka Dot Man. Man, I wish they hadn't killed Polka Dot Man. That guy was fascinating. He was just, I would love to have seen more of him. Just fascinating. I thought it was great, and I'm excited for that show. And I'm also excited for James Gunn. He's working on, it is next Christmas, will be the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. And he came out on Twitter today, was it yesterday, and made a statement that he's going to be introduced in that series, in that holiday special, he's going to introduce one of the most popular MCU characters, a very famous MCU character. Who that is, who knows, but that's the statement he made. He made that on his Twitter. So that'll be interesting. I think it's Adam Warlock, but whatever. That's fine.
Well, we know that, I guess, theoretically, Adam's coming in the next Guardians of the Galaxy movie, which is will be, what, May? The following May from when that special comes out. So,
yeah. 2023.
Yeah, 2023.
Very good. What else you got?
We got a new trailer for The Eternals. So, they're ramping up the... We're now one month. From today, 1 month away from the Eternals release in the theaters, and they are starting to ramp up the promotion for that movie. We did get a new trailer over the weekend. I think it was on Football Sunday. We got a new trailer.
Yeah,
some new footage, a couple of new scenes from the movie.
Kind of explains some power sets of some of the Eternals.
Yeah,
which is kinda cool.
And as Titanium's alluded to in the past, I think, as they're continuing to polish the special effects and these trailers are getting better and better. I mean, the movie's looking a lot better from a cinematic perspective, right?
I'm starting to get more excited for this. Yeah. I'm still on the fence. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm still on the fence. I also heard that Angelina Jolie turned down the Wonder Woman.
Angela what?
Did I butcher it? Come on, Professor. Just be honest with me. Did I butcher it?
Angelina
Jolie.
Angelina.
Angelina.
Jolie.
Jolie.
Angelina Jolie.
Angelina Jolie. She turned down the Wonder Woman spot, and I want to applaud her for that. I want to thank her
that Gal Gadot
much,
took?
That Gal Gadot took. Nope. I don't care what you say.
No. What I'm saying is I think
it was the right call.
Oh, well, I'm incredibly happy Gal Gadot ended up getting it, for
Me
sure.
Too. I'm glad she turned it down.
Right. But so that's the question. Or do we think that she would be a good Wonder Woman? Maybe.
Maybe. Better than Gal? Nope. Not a chance.
Well, I mean, Gal's 25 years younger than her. 24.
That's not nice.
No,
Professor.
I'm just saying. She's got a much longer runway.
You're right. She, yeah.
Has nothing to do with, could she pull it off? Of
Angelina's
course.
Angelina's looking a little weathered. Is that what you're saying, Professor?
I'm saying she doesn't have as long a runway. If you're going to keep that character
like
in the
it.
Theaters for a number like of years, it. Right? You know, it's
still
like,
smoke show though.
Well, right. It's the same as casting, you know, Ben Affleck as Batman. You're going to cast him as an older Batman. You're not sure. going to cast, you know, just You're not going to cast him as that young kind of Batman. You're just not going to, because he's not young, you know.
Speaking of Batman, that's another one I'm looking forward to. I think that one's going to blow
the
us
Matt
away.
Reeves version?
The Matt Reeves version of Batman with what's his name? Patterson?
Yeah.
I think that's going to blow us away. I heard today that they're going to focus on the relationship between him and Batman. That's going to be like one of the main focuses of Alfred and Batman, that relationship. And that's Andy Serkis?
Serkis?
Is that how you say his name? Serkis? He's the director of Venom. Yeah.
He plays
Alfred?
Which
we're going to get into. Yeah. He plays Alfred.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good casting.
It's great casting. And he's amazing. That guy is in, think about it. He's like a geek god, you know?
Yeah.
Gollum, all the stuff he's been in, Planet of the Apes. I mean, his motion capture stuff is brilliant. And then now he's like up front, right? Yeah. So anyway, that they're going to focus.
Claw and right. Black Panther. Right.
That's right. Awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm starting that. I think that's going to shock people, like blow people away.
Yeah.
Not that it needs to. Batman's Batman. It's like Spider-Man, you know? Speaking of that.
Yeah. Well, we can
get into that a little later. What else we have in the news?
So the rumors circulate now that Marvel's contemplating Deadpool or Daredevil series on Disney Plus with Charlie Cox now. So this is now becoming more and more of a solid story.
Now, did you see part of the Echo series that they were going to bring that in? And they're going to consider that a season 4 for him? So
potentially.
Echo
So that and I think that's where this is being drawn from, right? So I think we already know that Marvel somewhat publicly came out and said they were going to be taking some of those characters from the Marvel Netflix shows and plucking them out and putting them into these Disney Plus series. Again, popular theory is we're going to get at least a cameo, if not a few scenes, with Vincent D'Onofrio's version of the Kingpin in the Hawkeye series.
Awesome.
Right? One of the characters they're going to be introducing in that series is a character called Echo. She's a deaf superhero.
What's her powers?
Yeah, she ends up having powers very similar to Taskmaster. She's able to mirror people's abilities and moves because she's honed her other senses so that she can, you know, watch
martial
somebody.
Arts.
Yep.
Agility. No real superpowers, but she has muscle photogenic memory, right? So she can mirror.
Similar to what happened to Daredevil, he lost his sight, but all of his other senses became hypersensitive and heightened. So he has effectively this radar, and that's how
she
can
see through sight.
She does it through sight. Like, she lost her hearing, but she can kind of see things in a way that other people can't see. Right.
Yeah. Interesting character.
Right, but she has ties into Kingpin. It's a very weird story from the comic books where...
The daughter, right? No? Did I make that up?
The daughter what?
Echo's Kingpin's daughter?
Well, he's Kingpin's daughter as much in that Gamora's Thanos' daughter.
Got it. Okay.
Kingpin basically killed her family.
There you go.
And took her in and convinced her that he was doing... that somebody else killed her family. And then raised her as his daughter.
Got it. Okay.
But he was the one who killed her family.
Oh, nice.
And she ultimately, in the comics, finds that out. And then,
Gamora, Thanos all over
again. Very similar. Very cool. Similar storyline there.
Dropping knowledge, Professor. Here he goes. Dropping knowledge. Yeah.
But we're getting that character, and that character has very close ties to Daredevil in the comic books. And as a matter of fact, she, the character that played Echo, has a relationship with Matt Murdock. They're dating each other, a deaf woman and a blind man dating each other. They have a relationship, and they ultimately fight. Kingpin sends Echo to kill Daredevil. Echo and he fight, and she finds out that it's Matt, and then they're like, oh, what the heck is going on here?
Right.
And then they kind of join forces and fight the Kingpin and all this other stuff. So that's what happens in
great
the comics.
Show.
Right.
That's a great show. You got a love interest. It's a great show.
Right. But what a great way to reintroduce the Daredevil character. And could it be a Daredevil season 4? Maybe. But we hear that they're probably going to bring back his partner, which was... how do I forget his name? I'll think of it.
Bubbly.
No, it was something like that. It's Happy or Happy. Or something. Some it was something
Hoppy.
Like it was something like that. Yeah.
Hoppy.
No? I'll think of it.
Boppy.
Yeah.
Bubbly.
And the secretary that he had.
Smoke Show. Oh, yep. Yes. She's so cute.
Yeah, she was in True Blood, I believe, and then ended up being on that Daredevil series. Yeah. Anyway, they're going to bring some of those characters back.
Good.
And I think that, and again, there's now more solid rumors that we're going to see him in the Echo series. Now the theory is we might see Matt Murdock in the Spider-Man movie, which I think is high percentage chance that's going to happen. Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock in that movie. Great. But that then just tells us, okay, they're bringing the guy back. And
please do.
And from what we see in the schedule from Disney Plus, if a Daredevil series were to come out, it would probably be maybe the 2024 timeframe, but we think that's going
to
happen.
I'm all in. Whatever they decide to do, just bring the guy back. Great, great character. He plays him perfectly. One of my favorite characters that Marvel has ever introduced. So,
yeah. You like the Ben Affleck version of Daredevil?
All right. Full disclosure. I love that movie. I really
did. There's two of them, right? They did two of them.
I thought it was great. They brought Elektra in, and she, Jennifer Gardner, absolute smoke show. I was infatuated with her. And then they brought in Bullseye, which was, what's his name? Great lunatic.
Oh, he's in the new Batman movie.
Yeah, he plays the Penguin. He plays Cobblepot.
Yeah, Cobblepot.
Oh, damn, what's his name?
Irish guy. Yeah, we'll think of it.
Yeah, we will. I'll put it up on the screen for the YouTube.
Colin Farrell.
Yes. Great pull. My man, the professor. Yeah, I thought it was great. I like that. So whatever.
Yeah. I thought it was good too. I thought that was very comic book accurate, but what they ended up were able to do over a 13 episode string over three seasons in Netflix was just far surpassed that one movie that Ben Affleck did, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
All right. And then we got a little oopsie daisy from Marvel India today.
Yeah,
right?
Marvel India posted a timeline of releases and put on there Blade October 7th, 2022. So next October, which is impossible.
Which was right in between. We've got that next summer. We have Wakanda Forever coming out in July.
Uh-huh.
And then we have the Marvels coming out in November. So what they're saying is in October, we're going to get Blade.
It hasn't even been filming. There's no way they could pump that out that quickly. So it was a mistake. They took it down within 2 hours of them posting it. I think somebody made a goof on the graphic. Of course, social media went crazy, and most people was speculating that it was true, but I don't think it was confirmed.
Look, here's what we know, right?
I thought Marvel's was coming out in December. What movie's coming out in December?
November.
November?
No, no, no. Okay. November. Here's what we know. We know, I think Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is supposed to come out in October of next year, maybe. Next one of that. We know that those two movies that I mentioned are coming out. The next movie that's coming out after the Marvels is Guardians of the Galaxy. No, what's the one in February of the next year is Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania.
Yeah.
I think they're starting the pre-production on that, or they're pretty close to that. And then following that is going to be the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. And they're ramping up on that. So, yeah. As you know, James Gunn has started his work on that movie now. But the Marvels movie, have they started that, or has that kind of been in production?
I think
we haven't heard much, but that's coming out.
Yeah,
that's coming out about a year from now.
I do follow Brie Larson on Instagram, and she posts a lot of workout videos. So she's getting buff. She's getting kind of ripped, to be honest with you. Not one of my favorite actresses or persons. But she's a smoke show, so of course I follow her on Instagram. Titanium, it's what I do. Stalker. But no, I haven't heard much about that. I did hear that...
Wakanda Forever has begun production, though. We do know that, right? Because remember we saw those photos from the set?
Yes, it absolutely has. And what's her name? Siri on that was hurt and hospitalized.
Shuri.
Hey, Siri, spell me. Shuri was hurt and hospitalized, and they were filming at MIT, introducing the girl that plays Ironheart. She goes to MIT, and they were filming up there, and they were both seen on set. So that absolutely.
And I guess that's what we're trying to figure out here, timeline perspective. That movie is in production right now. They're filming right now. And that's coming out next July.
Yeah. It hasn't wrapped yet, I don't think.
I haven't heard or seen anything about the Marvels movie filming yet.
No.
But should start soon, you would think, if they're coming out next November.
Yeah.
So does it mean that Blade can't start filming in the next month or so and come out next October? Doesn't mean they can't.
Was that a slip? Did somebody let some top secret stuff out?
Again, I think this D23 in November, is it November, December, whenever D23 is, I think you and I looked it up over the weekend. When that happens, we're going to learn a lot about this schedule.
I will tell you something that I'm pretty positive we're going to get is we're going to get some kick-ass footage from Moon Knight. They wrapped production.
That's the Disney Plus day.
I think we're going to get Moon Knight. Definitely something from Moon Knight on the Disney Plus day. They wrapped production. They're finished.
They're done.
Yeah, they're done. Yep. They had a big party out there in Budapest, and they wrapped. Yep.
So what was the big delay of Ms. Marvel? That was supposed to be coming out by the end of the year, and then you heard some stories about that being delayed. Do you understand why that was being delayed?
You know, I don't know. I did not dig too deep into that. I was a little upset, and I thought for sure that they were going to surprise us with that and be like, oh, by the way, guess what starts next week? Ms. Marvel. But I'm still hoping for that by the end of the year. But they did push it back till next year. So that was confirmed. And I don't know what the delay on that was. Huh. I don't.
Okay.
But I don't think, you know, Ms. Marvel, her power set is she makes herself kind of big and stretchy. Right?
She's like a Mr. Fantastic.
Mr. Fantastic?
Yeah, kind of.
For some reason, I think I heard that her power set is going to be different. She's not going to be the stretchy big. It's going to be something a little similar to Captain Marvel.
Really? Like
something with her hands are going to be something very similar. Not her whole body. I don't think she can fly, but I think it's going to be very similar to that. I don't know. I'll find out. I'll do a little more digging. I'm trying to stay off the dark web, but the professor keeps pushing me in the dark web.
All right.
He keeps wanting me in there.
Let's see what you can figure out there, Titanium.
You got it.
All right, well, let's get into this week's topic of the week. Of course, that's always brought to you by our friends over at Studio GG Studios.
Studio GG Studios, the best. New video coming out very soon. New song with a new video called Buffalo Tim.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, a little some clips.
Maybe seeing a little bit of Buffalo Tim this weekend.
So. Yes, we clips from the Buffalo Mafia up there in Buffalo, New York. Very interesting. You got to check it out. It will shock and surprise you.
All right. Well, thanks, Studio G. Appreciate your support.
Love you guys.
All right. Well, let's get I think we dropped earlier this week our first impressions. So Titanium and I went and saw Venom Let There Be Carnage on Sunday at the IMAX theater and, you know, gave our first impressions right after the movie. But we're going to give you our full review here and kind of, you know, talk about everything that we saw.
Spoilers.
And what we liked, what we didn't like, and where we think this character and this franchise is going in the future. So I don't know, Titanium, where do you want to start? You know,
it was better than the first one. That's not saying much. The first one was okay. This one was good. Not great. Didn't blow my socks off. I thought Carnage was... I still think Woody Harrelson played a very convincing psychopath. His haikus and... his little rhymes and riddles were very interesting. I thought he was a good character in it. Nothing really stood out to me as excellent. I thought the fight scenes were probably the highlight for me. Woody was okay. Another little highlight for me, but the fight scenes were definitely a highlight for me. Some of it was like fast action, kind of like that Transformer stuff. You kind of have an idea of what's going on, but you can't really make anything out. It's too dark and fast. I thought Carnage was really cool. The way they depicted Carnage was excellent. just like the comics, just very, you know, kind of wild and spastic and just evil as shit. I thought that was really cool. But just okay. Disappointing parts for me were No More Carnage. Like, how do you do that? How do you just end one of the greatest villain characters of all time and you just, you know what, I'm going to eat his head. I'm just going to kill this. I didn't like that at all. And then, like I said, you know, the police detective with the glowing eyes, if he is infected with a symbiote, how? I didn't see it. He didn't swallow any blood. A piece didn't jump off of Carnage, or a piece didn't jump off of Venom and into him. How was he affected? And supposedly he's toxin in the comics. I mean, I'll let you speak to that, but how was he infected? I thought, you know, the writing was lazy. I mean, I have to admit it. It was lazy writing. It wasn't tight like that Marvel Studio movie is, you know? It's just not tight. A lot of loose ends, kind of jumps from here and there. But again, good, not great. Go see it. It's entertaining as shit, and the fight scenes are well worth it. But that's my full opinion of it. We can get into the after credits scene after I hear you, your opinion on it. And I want to hear a little bit about Toxin because I don't know a lot about him.
Yeah. And, you know, look, we talked about this several weeks ago, and I think, you know, you're panning me a little bit that, you know, my expectations for this movie weren't very high. You're like, oh, Professor doesn't think it's going to be very good. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
And here's the... Again, this is all predicated on my history with way Sony's chosen to do things here. Yeah.
You've stated that from the very beginning. You've been true to your story. You hate the deviation from the comics because that worked, did it not? Did that storyline work with his relationship with Spider-Man and how he became Venom with Spider-Man attached to Spider-Man at first and then Eddie Brock? You're 100% correct.
When I heard years ago, when I heard that they were going to do a Venom movie and I heard that they had signed Tom Hardy on to play Eddie Brock, I was like, well, wait a minute. How are we doing a Venom movie when we haven't really introduced Venom, the character, into the universe?
Yeah.
And the first thing that came to mind was, it's a money grab. It's Sony saying, look, we've got this bank of characters that we have the rights to, and there's some that are more popular than others, and Venom happens to be one of them. Let's make a movie franchise around him. Mm-hmm. Let's take this character, and we'll turn him into this anti-hero that, you know, he had a brief run in the comic books, and I have one of them up here, Lethal Protector, where, we can make him an anti-hero. Okay. But that whole storyline had the baseline of his origin, which happened to be being the black suit Spider-Man and then ultimately finding out the suit's alive and I got to get rid of it. And then it goes to a guy who hates me and then, you know, becomes Venom. And we just lost that.
Yeah.
And which I think Sony, component. What happened was when Sony decided to reboot the Spider-Man character and when it's Andrew Garfield, I think if Andrew Garfield had stayed Spider-Man, they would have introduced Tom Hardy and Eddie Brock and the black suit in that next Andrew Garfield movie. That would have been like the next logical place they go.
Yeah.
Right? They would have done something. But they felt, hey, this is a great opportunity for us to, you know, bring Spider-Man into the MCU. We'll have the sharing agreement. This is fantastic. And we have Tom Holland. We'll recast him. Boom, boom, boom. That all happened. And they could have, in the first movie, done something with the black suit. Could have done it, right? And whether it's some alien technology that Tony Stark had access to and gave to him, and then all of a sudden, wait a minute, Tony, this thing's alive. Holy crap. Blah, 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 blah. You know what? They could have figured it out.
Yeah.
But
or it was hidden in some kind of Chitauri craft that crashed, and this was, you know, kind of hidden in
there's
it.
There's a something. Million ways you could have
I
done
agree
it.
With you.
Million ways they could have done it. But then for them to just introduce the symbiotes, Eddie Brock as this news reporter who's just kind of a troubled guy, and then all of a sudden he becomes this, you know, symbiotic relationship with a suit. And I mean, I'm like, I just never liked it from the beginning. And the first movie disappointed me because of that. The first movie was okay. I literally, I was just thinking about this on the drive over. I'm like, Have I ever seen that movie twice? And I probably have.
Yeah.
But I can't remember it. Nah. So it was okay. But it was just such of like, this is not the character I know. And then for them to take what we got in the first movie and then move directly into Carnage, which is just this also Spider-Man slash Venom storyline. I mean, Carnage hates them both equally. And to move into that story now and give us that character and then have Venom ultimately find a way to defeat him and then eat him and destroyed him completely. I mean, that's the way that, you know, one of the big questions we had last episode. Well, what's the future of Carnage in the Sony picture universe? Well, I don't think there's one. Venom ate him.
He ate him. Cletus Cassidy, he ate him.
Ate Carnage, the symbiote, and then ate Cletus Cassidy, the human, right?
Just disappointing. The coolest part of the movie was Carnage, and for them to get rid of him that way was disappointing.
Money grab. Again, they took this big character. Everybody knew, it's Carnage. Oh, my God, he's a big badass in the comics. Yes, he is. Let's make a movie in him. But you wasted him. Now he's gone. Because Carnage led into other symbiotes, as you mentioned. Toxin, that's another symbiote. So this Patrick Mulligan, the police detective, becomes Toxin in the movies. And Toxin is the byproduct of the Carnage symbiote. But Venom learns that Toxin gets created and decides, hey, I can bring him under my wing and make him more of a, you know, anti-hero like I am and not a bad guy like Carnage is, and wants to train him, but then is so afraid of him being bad that he wants to kill him. I mean, it's a big, long story that goes on in the comics there, and we're going to lose that. And who knows what they're doing with that guy? And the way his eyes were glowing, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully, we'll never find out, or we don't care, because, again, let's kind of jump right into the post-credit scene. And frankly, guys, look, we could spend another 20 minutes talking about the movie and the plot and what happens and you know.
Good movie, not great. Go see it, but
whatever. There's some moments. Yeah. There's some moments that are creative and kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that Eddie and Venom have a symbiotic relationship and they're kind of joined, which, and when Venom tried to leave Eddie, he was jumping between other bodies and he would wear them out because they didn't have a true symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
And he found out when Cletus Cassidy and Carnage didn't have one either. They were kind of just using each other. They really didn't have a symbiotic relationship. And that's why Venom and Eddie are so specials, because they're truly bonded.
Yeah.
So there's some parts of the movie that are good.
Very cool.
And again, as Tony mentioned, there's some.
I mean, it did make $90 million, almost $100 million.
Yeah, and that just shows you how starved people are for content.
Yeah.
But you know, look, guys, it's not a game changer. It's not a crazy special movie. If you missed it and you didn't see it until it came out on demand, you'd probably be okay. You're not missing anything, right? You know, oh my God, what's everybody talking about?
And you probably can see the end credit scene on every social media outlet. It's already been leaked.
So let's talk about it, because that's the big monkey in the room.
Yep. We knew it. We called it. Rumors
about it from the screenings that they had. People were posting about it. So what ends up happening is the end of the movie. Eddie realizes that he has to turn himself in, and Eddie and Venom decide that they'd rather go on the run than, you know, turn themselves in and live in prison or whatever.
Yeah.
And they end up going on the run, and he takes them to Mexico.
Tropical beach.
Some place in the tropics. They're on a beach, and they're staying in some rinky-dink beach hotel.
Yeah.
And they're watching
novellas.
Telenovela, yeah. Right? And they're talking about
Spanish soap opera.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, he's describing to Eddie that, you know, his race, the symbiotes that he's a part of, are a hive mind. They all share kind of a mind. And the knowledge that they have spans multiple, you know, millions of years, as well as multiple universes, right? So he's like, if I just gave you one, you know, a fraction of the knowledge that I have... your little simple mind couldn't handle it. And he goes, oh, yeah, you think? Give it to me. And he's like, okay, here it comes. Are you ready? And then all of a sudden, we get this little kind of wonky blip And it's very similar to the
Flash,
wonky blip that we got in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. Or WandaVision, that kind of...
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, Eddie's like, what just happened? And Venom's like, I didn't do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
And the room changes color, and there's now these...
It's more of a luxury, upscale hotel room instead of some shithole.
A really nice room, and there's... The towels are in shapes of like swans and stuff on the bed. And he's like, what the heck? And then on the television is the Daily Bugle show with J. Jonah Jameson talking about Spider-Man.
Spider-Man is Peter Parker.
And they show, you know, Tom Holland's Spider-Man with his mask off on the TV screen. And Eddie and Venom walk up to it. And Venom comes out and licks the screen. He goes, oh, that guy.
Yeah.
So, you know. Okay, what does that mean? Well, then some guy walks out of the bathroom. He's like, what are you doing in my room? So Eddie and Venom are in some place they're not supposed to be.
Yeah.
Well, where are they and how'd they get there and what does this all mean? That's the big question.
Yeah.
So give me your theory.
My theory is that at that exact moment is when Doctor Strange is casting the spell in Spider-Man No Way Home, that, you know, the spell that he's casting, and then the spell kind of turns around them, and then you can see, like, them either being transported to another multiverse or the multiverse is all mixed up or something happens at that point. I think that exact time happens to them. And Venom is affected because he's from another, he's like an alien on Earth. So I think he's affected in some way and he's transported with them to another multiverse. So that's my theory.
Could it be the moment that He Who Remains was stabbed in the Loki series?
And everything resets? No,
then the timelines then splits? Start branching.
Yeah. It could, but why are they in completely a different
place? MCU, right.
Right, why would they be transported or all of a sudden in a different room? If that was the case, he would just be on the TV and then you could see it. Like, they wouldn't be in a different room. I think they got transported somewhere.
So you think that you and I discussed this, there's going to have to be an explainer of what happened in that end credit scene. And it's going to have to be on the big screen somewhere. It's not going to be, Kevin Feige is going to get down. Oh, let me explain to you what happened in the end credit scene.
No.
This is going to be, show us on the movie somewhere what happened. And our theory is potentially in the Spider-Man No Way Home movie, we're going to see that moment that Doctor Strange and Spider-Man are doing the spell where the multiverses collapse or combine, and that's the same moment that Eddie Brock and Venom get transported to our universe, right?
I hope so. I hope they explain that. I mean, okay. I would love for Venom to be in that universe. I would love for Venom to be a part of that and kind of maybe they can adjust and correct some of their misgivings from not following the comic book accuracy of that character. So I don't know. I'm excited, though. It got me excited to find out what it was.
You know, we knew that Venom and Spider-Man somehow, some way, at some point in time, had to be in a movie together. They had to be in the same universe together. The question was, how is that going to happen and when? Big theory was, well, maybe they already are in the same universe. They're just not knowledgeable of each other yet.
Yeah.
And we'll find that out. Well, again, what we've been told is the Morbius movie is going to be in the MCU.
Yeah.
So does this mean, and that makes things even more weird, because that movie was supposed to come out in March of last year. Last year! Mm-hmm. Way before this movie came out. So if that was the case, then Morbius would have always been in the MCU, and then we just needed to get Venom in. Well, how's Venom coming in? How's Venom? And that kind of explains what happened in this post-credit scene. So maybe that is bringing him into our MCU now. Now we can say they're all in the same quote-unquote universe, right? And maybe that's the way they're going to do it. But then for him to stand up and lick the screen like he knew who Spider-Man was or Tom Holland, like, how does he know?
I don't know.
How does he know who's Tom? That guy,
a lot of questions.
You know, whatever.
But we knew Spider-Man was going to be in the end credit scene. We knew somehow they were going to try
to
get...
big question we asked... does this mean that Venom shows up in Spider-Man No Way Home?
Ooh, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Because it's we did see pictures of Tom Hardy wearing a hat that said Spider-Man No Way Home on it, means that's the rap party hat.
He was at the rap party. We know that. But is that a cameo? Is that an end credit scene?
Even a cameo or an end credit scene, that's fine. But does he end up being in that movie somewhere?
I think we see him somewhere in that movie.
And it might just be an end credit scene.
I hope so. The movie is so packed. I mean, they're going to try to push the Sinister Six. They're going to try to bring back. They got Doc Ock. They got the Goblin. They got Electro. They have all the supposedly both other Spider-Mans, Maguire. I don't know. It seems so crowded. I'm extremely interested to see how they make it all mesh. And I'm going to trust in Sony. But I've always said this from the very beginning. It's so ambitious and so crowded. I don't know how they're going to do it. But, you know, I'll be surprised, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think it's foolish of Sony and Marvel to not have the same ambition around where these characters are going. Can they continue to do Spider-Man movies that are standalone? Absolutely. Can they continue to do Spider-Man and Venom crossovers that are standalone? Absolutely. Can they introduce or integrate other MCU characters into those movies? They should and could and should be able to.
Yep.
I think it just makes sense. And I think that you and I talked about that before. I think Sony and Marvel's plans are much more tightly integrated than we think. And we're just waiting to see what the fruits of those labors are. I think the next movie is probably going to be not a Venom 4, not a Venom 3 or Spider-Man 4. It might be Spider-Man versus Venom, and there's some thing they have to fight against together or whatever. We'll figure that out. But
or a Sinister Six movie.
Potentially.
Where Venom and Spider-Man team up.
Gosh, if you make Venom ally.
They've already done that.
I know.
Man. He's not even an anti-hero. They've painted
you
him.
You said I could eat bad guys.
Yeah, he's a hero.
I'm a lethal protector.
Jeez, which is just a small run in the... Okay, we've already talked about that, but anyway. Good show, Professor.
Yeah.
I hear the bell ringing.
All right.
Let's shut it down.
Well, that's it for us this week. We'll be back next week for more Super Talk. To get in touch with us on social media, hit us up via email, supertalkpodcast@outlook.com or at supertalkpod on Twitter. Until then, stay super, everyone.